Now back to the Green Architects Lounge.
Welcome back, everybody, to part three of this Net Zero podcast, the Green Architects Lounge. I'm here with Chris Bradley.
I'm Phil Kaplan.
All right, let's do this.
Where were we, Chris? We're going to talk about how to make net zero cost effective.
That's right. Do you mind if I just throw that question right back at you? Because you just did. You've done net zero. I mean, because that isn't that the biggest hurdle? It's like, okay, net zero sounds great. You guys just talked a great game in that last part of this episode. So how is it cost effective?
Well,
how's this smart?
See, the key is trying to make this cost neutral. If we can make this cost neutral,
yeah,
then it's a home run, right? There's
yeah.
no reason not to be doing this.
Right, because given the given two things that are equal, but one is greener or one is more,
durable or comfortable.
Energy efficient,
or
blah,
energy
blah, blah,
efficient.
Blah. Yeah.
There's no reason to do the first one.
Right.
Okay, so really what happens is if we can reduce the mechanicals,
yeah,
say we improve our envelope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we do everything right that we talked about previously. Daylighting, solar gains, reduce our electric loads, and natural ventilation to the point where we can reduce our mechanicals substantially.
Yeah.
We can get rid of that furnace. We can get rid of fossil fuels. We can get a single point source of heat.
Okay.
Again, I'm talking like a Mainer here.
Yeah, I was going to say,
okay.
What, like your wood stove there, buddy?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, potentially, or, you know, air source heat pump with wood stove backup, okay?
Okay.
But the furnace is gone, you know, solar hot water. And then we reduce the need for renewables. We use our cost optimization spreadsheet, which we'll give you to download.
Right.
Okay. So we're spending $30,000 or so for all the PV that we need.
Yeah.
And the solar hot water, and not $160 because we've done the first two things right. Then the costs are offset.
Yeah.
It's a trade-off. You take that money that you save and you put it in the envelope. Okay.
Yeah.
The argument also is that PV is not that cheap now.
No.
Okay, but remember we said the last chunk is that that's okay because net zero ready also counts. So when PV gets real cheap and when your state gets proper kickbacks,
yeah,
then you're going to add that PV. You just got to prep for it.
But right now you're getting 30% off that thing right now.
30%,
which is huge.
So that begs the question: why not do that this in every home, Chris?
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I mean, like, I don't have it on my house, but my roof is terrible for it. Right. Yeah. You know, but, you know.
Right.
Give,
you know.
Give
so,
me a couple
okay,
years.
So keep going, because
yeah.
The truth is we do know.
Yeah, because it's expensive. I mean.
I don't know about expensive.
It is.
I believe that there are cost offsets.
Phil, can I borrow $20,000? No, because
no.
You don't have $20,000. I'll trim that out. But
Chris, you can.
Yeah.
I was going to spend this $20,000 in a furnace, but I don't need a furnace. Here, take this
$20,000. Okay. Well done. Touche.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. I really honestly think it's all about that trade-off. And no toe dipping. You got to jump right in. You got to do
right.
all of this
yeah,
to
right.
a certain point where the need for that mechanical system drops away and you then can take that money and
that's right.
the cost
and
put it in the envelope.
And if your client's on board, if you're doing net zero, I mean, you're jumping the Grand Canyon. You're doing it. You can't do it in two steps. You got to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be deliberate
mm-hmm.
in everything you do. And you're gonna do one gorgeous jump across this canyon, and you're gonna knock it out of the park.
Right? Are we gonna do it, or are we not gonna do it?
Exactly. There's no halfway
mm-hmm.
in this.
Mm-hmm. But there is a learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, so we say, why not do this in every home? Because yeah, people are still trying to figure it out.
Right.
I mean, you know, we can say 10, 20, 40, 60.
Yeah.
Most architects don't know what that means. Most builders don't know what that means.
Most builders
even
will
if,
laugh at
We'll
you.
Laugh, yeah.
yeah.
And even when we draw it,
yeah.
if you've never built one like this before, it's tricky. You know, we need to figure out how to get things this airtight.
Yep.
And it's a risk. It's scary advocating not to have a mechanical system in your house.
Uh-huh. So
yeah.
let's say I'm a skeptic,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying there's no way net zero is cost effective. Give me $12,000, I'll put an oil boiler in my house, and boom, I'm done. None of this $40,000 stuff on my PVs and all that stuff. How's it cost effective, Mr. Smarty Pants Architect?
I'm saying you don't need the oil for it. You just don't need it.
I don't need it, so I don't need 20. But so you're saying I make it cost effective. If it's, I mean, that's a hard argument that you get. It's like, I'll answer it. I mean, it's like, so you save $12,000 because you're not buying that thing, but you're going to spend $40,000 on your PVs, but you're also not going to spend $4,000 every year. You're going to spend $400 every year. In fact, you're going to spend, you know, essentially you're spending nothing after you're done. Once you're net zero, I mean, right? Your utility bills are zero.
It's zero.
As in, you're living there for free. So it's sort of like, you know, if you took out a loan if you took the cost of your house for, you know, 30 years, how much does it cost to live in that, in your house for 30 years? In fact, I've got a nice stat I'll surprise you with that buildings, it's more than just houses, but buildings in general, the construction cost represents 11% of the total cost of the life of the building.
Interesting.
Tiny. Tiny.
I love how you come up with those numbers.
Well, yeah.
See, I just like to wave my hands like a typical architect. But Chris, you impress me with those numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to get an email and someone's going to say, where'd you get that number? I want to cite it. No, you guys don't sound like that. Where'd you get that number? I want to cite that in my next PowerPoint presentation. I'll be like, I heard about it. No, I saw it in a... And then I'll spend like 2 hours finding where it was that I found it. And then
but you will find it.
I will find it. Because that is about true. I mean, you know, buildings last a long time. And, you know, costs of... You know, everything goes up. So it's like this fraction... You know, but it's what you get your loan for. It's what everyone focuses on, the construction cost. I'm getting a loan for this. It's what I'm investing in. What is this number? And everyone goes gaga over it. But you know what? You're existing, you're living in this house, and it's consuming. And those numbers add up over time. $5,000 every year, over and over and over again.
And
it's a lot of money.
It is. And you know what? If you start adding those numbers up now, I'm pretty sure that the only... thing you're going to run into trouble with is financing that PV right now. But
yeah,
you just got to have faith that the cost of the PV are going to come down.
I think
again, net zero already counts. We're going to say it again.
Yeah, PVs are going to go down. Oil is going to go up.
So don't blow it now.
Exactly.
So the question, and I ask this rhetorically.
Yeah,
is the owner a commitment from the owner necessary?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, there's no. We just said there's, you know,
point counterpoint. Chris Briley says
yes.
Phil Kaplan says
what?
Well, I don't know about
no
that.
No way. You're not going to say that.
I am.
Oh, really?
Because if it's cost neutral,
yeah.
Why, if your owner doesn't care one way or the other, why even tell him? Why even, Chris? Do we walk our owners through our flashing details?
No.
Do they assume that our buildings that we design are going to leak?
They are not going to leave.
Exactly.
Right.
Do they assume our buildings are going to use lots of energy?
Well, you and me, no.
Exactly. So why do we need to tell them? They come to us for that.
Interesting.
Why do we need to have a conversation about... Let's talk about your wall section, Chris.
Yes.
No, we don't have to have that. We just have to know that we've done the best job internally.
Wow.
Why do the owners have to know it unless it's going to cost them more money?
You know, the second I've got you pegged, you always surprise me, Phil. No, that's very good. Keep going.
Yeah, because all we need to talk to him about, we don't need to talk to him about wall sections and detailing and which way the wall dries out and how much insulation. We wouldn't need to talk to him about quality,
yes,
durability,
yes,
and security,
yes,
and comfort.
Yes.
That's it. And well, it's not going to cost him any more.
No, I suppose you're, you know what?
I geek out on the wall sections, but I am proposing something radical. Don't talk to your clients about how much more insulation you're going to put in, and don't try to sell them on it. It's not an issue anymore.
You mean you make the assumption like, well, you want this energy efficient, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you want a high quality house, right?
Right.
And can I give you high quality and more comfort that doesn't cost more?
Right.
So, as long as you want that,
yeah,
then we're not going to talk about anything else.
You've blown my mind, Phil. You've given me something to... Let's all take a moment think about that? Well, we'll take that moment later because time is precious on the air. But right. Wow, you know, that really is. I mean, I suppose you're right. You know, I don't say. I mean, there's a part of me that says, well, wait, I want to show you what I'm working on and why I'm
yeah,
really.
Yeah, is that the geeky ego?
Yeah,
on our
yeah
side?
That's geeky ego.
Because I have a hard time resisting that. You know,
yeah, I know exactly.
I say this, I talk boldly, but I have a
look
hard time.
Look at my gorgeous detail. Look at this, Mr. Klein.
Yeah,
look what I've done for you.
Those guys aren't doing 2x6 walls and yeah, you know, with fiberglass.
Look at how clean. Look
at
everything
me.
Lines
look how
up.
How smart I am.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, really, we've got bigger goals now.
Okay.
And in 10 years, we're not going to be talking about it.
No, you're right.
We don't talk to clients about, boy, we're going to do 2x6 walls and we're going to do bad insulation.
Right.
They don't give a damn. In 10 years, they're not going to give a damn about 2x6 walls with 4 inches of rigid or double stud walls. They just don't give a damn. And they probably don't. Most of them don't give a damn now.
Right. And so, the name of my firm will no longer be Green Design Studio because green will be meaningless.
Unless you change your last name to Green.
Which maybe I'll do.
Maybe it's easier at that point.
It might be. It'll make sense.
All right. So, you know, we'd like to talk about the lessons that we've learned doing Net Zero Homes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yes, I sound a little cavalier about it, but, you know, we're here to kind of push a little bit.
Yeah, it could be the drink. Like, always makes you just sound tough.
I wish it was that simple.
Yeah, yeah. But what are some of the lessons you've learned? Like, you've done Net Zero.
Well,
like,
there's been a lot of talk about the integrated design process. We talked about getting a builder on board early, and we've talked about this in other episodes.
You and I do that all the time. I mean, when's the last time you've taken a house out to bid, like traditionally?
Yeah, not.
Neither have I. It just doesn't happen
anymore. You just have to advocate it to your client. That really is not the smartest way to go.
In fact, we could have a podcast on the, you know, the construction contract. Delivering your greenhouse. Oh, let's do that.
I think that's great. And we'll have Sheila.
Can you put that down?
Who else? You know.
Yeah.
We've got some good builders around here who do that on a regular basis. Peter Sager knows how to do it too.
Yeah. You bring them in, and while you're before the design's complete, let's say you're done with design development, mm-hmm. you have something to talk about. You have plans. You have elevations. You have a wall section. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. You know, and the rest is all assumptions. And you say, and you've probably invited a couple builders in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to get super sidetracked on this, but they become part of the team, mm-hmm. not only for the price and the cost, but also in some of the responsibility of delivering this. You're not going to hit ACH 50 of 0.6 or, you know, 1 even. You know, without the builder being fully on board with delivering a tight house.
Mm-hmm.
If they just want to do business as usual and get this thing done and go home.
Or not lose money and say to the client, listen, I can save you a lot of money if you don't
exactly,
do this.
Exactly, yeah.
Trust me, it'll be close enough. Don't worry
about
it.
And it's fine. And we've been building like this for years. Mm-hmm. And my dad built and taught me. It's great.
Yeah, get yourself into trouble. So integrate design process.
So we want good numbers, right? I mean, that's the other thing is you want to integrate the design process,
mm-hmm.
and then you have goals in terms of what you need to. What's the neighborhood? What are we talking about? So if you want net zero, and you're in this integrated process, and the building a client there at the table, and you say, "Here's where we need to be, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We want her score around 40. We want our BTUs per square foot to be what? Like,
you know, I say 20. You know, if we get to 20,000
BTU per square foot per year,
right? And you know, passive houses under 5,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
So
that's mighty. Yeah,
we don't have to get that low, and that's where
because you're going to supplement with PVs.
We're going to supplement with PVs,
right, or something.
Yeah. So if we get down to 20, you know, we get down lower. That's great.
And your ACH 50, you probably want to be. When we've said this before, yeah. you want to try for 1, guys out there.
Right. You get 1.0.
1.0, you get that pat on the back from, you get the right. sign, you get the stamp of approval from the Green Architects Lounge that you guys designed and built a nice house.
Right, but you can get a 0.6. I'm looking at you. You right there. You builder guy, you're listening to me?
Yeah,
you. Think you can't do it? I'm telling you, you can.
Oh, yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, if you're good.
You're into it.
If you're man enough. I always like being on the site and be like, oh my god, it's cold. I'm gonna go back to the office. You guys take it easy, and then I'll just like, and then you have to bring donuts the next time you come.
lot of donuts. Yeah, cost you donuts.
And coffee.
But, you know, same thing. Math is hard.
All right.
Architects, don't be afraid of...
You know what's working numbers. For you, though? You got the sun that rises and sets every day. Gives you free light and heat. You got to work with that, right?
That's right.
Okay.
You got to use it. It's free. I say pay attention to the Canadians and the Germans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with them? They ought to get together. They're like culturally opposite, don't you think? Yeah. You know? But yet they come from the northern climes, and they're like, we can get good, really great glazing from the Canadians.
Yeah.
And from the Germans.
And Germans, yeah.
But yeah.
Canadians do it a little cheaper.
Yeah, because the
Germans
closer.
Do it a little better.
Yeah. Email, and you can email us at galounge@greenbuildinginvestor.com.
And Martin Holiday has a great slide from his super insulated slideshow, yeah. History of Super Insulation, where he says it's not the Canadians and Germans, it's the Canadians and the hippies.
Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah, they started it, really.
Yeah.
And I think he was one of them as well.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of transparency. Give and receive.
That's right.
Learn, read, research. Don't do this yourself.
Right, and balance, man. You can overglaze and you can underglaze. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have souls and spirits and we're phototropic people. We gravitate towards those great light spaces. But dude, be careful, right?
That's right.
Because it's a delicate dance. Use those energy models. Yeah. Balance this thing out.
Yeah.
Okay, what else, Phil?
Have clear goals at the outset. Know what you're going for. I mean, yes, net zero is
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But everything it entails. Well, we're going to do another separate podcast on Passive House versus Net Zero versus LEED versus Thousand Home versus, Challenge
right.
2030, which is another big one.
Right. We're going to do, yeah, we're letting the cat out of the bag, but we're going to do one on rating systems and challenges and all those systems that everyone else says you should be doing. And you walk in and say, what do you want from me? And I just want to do really great green building. And we'll just kind of sort through the mess.
Right. But the clear goals at the outset, you sit down with your clients and say, we want to be net zero. Are you on board? Here's what we need to do. You can't say, boy, we did a pretty good house. What do you guys think? Can we try it? Can we get up to net zero? Too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
That bird has flown.
So, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I feel like we're wrapping up this thing.
All right. Do you have a 6-digit idea, Chris?
You know I do.
I know you do.
I do. And here's the thing. Okay. All right. The mini split is all the rage, right?
I haven't heard this. I'm excited to hear
you. I know. Well, this is one of those.
It is.
It's an idea. I can't, again, I sit here thinking I can't be the first one to think of this.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Heat pumps. We're in the cold climates. What's the problem with heat pumps is that, you know, the colder it gets, the less efficient they are.
Right.
Which is really the annoying thing about them, because when do you need them most?
Well, when it's cold.
When it's cold.
Right.
So, you know, there's this, I just went to this great heat pump seminar where there's this great graphic about, you know, the righteous truth is most of your heating and cooling is, you know, in the more moderate seasons, and rarely here in Maine does it ever stay below zero. Today it was 1 degree when you woke up, but...
how much do you need?
Right, exactly. So it's like, you know... At that point, is my COP 1 at that point because the resistance is on? Probably. So here's my idea. Mm-hmm. Here's a 6-digit idea.
Mm-hmm.
Can't we, Phil, make a directional mini-split unit? And by that I mean instead of having a unit that sits outside the building, the compressor unit or whatever, and it's just like shedding cold, right? It's just like blowing cold and pumping heat into your house. Can't we make that directional so that like we put most of it in a little passive solar box. So you have this little passive solar building, tiny mini building that your compressor sits in, so that when it's like 1 degree outside, just like it was today, 1 degree but sunny, right? Then it's probably 30 in that thing where its efficiency is much more efficient, and it's throwing the heat outside the box. So so I've got a little solar, I'm talking about passive solar heating of the unit to keep it warm.
It's clever, but let me ask you, how much does it cost to build a building for your unit?
You know, a trip to Home Depot and $85. You know, give me, you know, a piece of polycarbonate, you know, a couple pieces of rigid. But if the box itself, but I'm saying, hey, mini split manufacturers, hey, Japanese,
but they need,
out there,
the mini splits need some ventilation around them, though, right?
they need lots of they. I mean, that's all they are. That's all they do is like they create coal. I mean, they're either.
So you got an open box though, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying shift all that, blow it out to one side, like my little laptop here. It's ventilating, but it's.
You just tell me to blow it out to one side, Chris. Yeah, I did. You're wrong.
You know what, Phil? Blow it out to one side. Wait, you got an idea yourself? Six-digit idea, Mr. Hotshot?
I don't have a six-digit idea, but
yeah.
I have a six-digit idea in hot pursuit.
Ooh, now I'm really interested. Yeah. Is that like a new segment?
It is.
It's... Sheila, quick, find... So she just shot me a dirty look like, oh, great, now I have to find another...
In hot pursuit music like from Chips or some, you know...
Now she's so upset.
Car chase.
People, oh, come on, just come on the mic, Sheila. Just
and
say
you
something.
Can do it.
Say something.
Here it comes.
No, she's not gonna. I'm fine. Well, I want Chips.
I think she's just gonna come up with some music. Right. There it is. Okay.
All right, go.
All right. So you mentioned the cellulose sips, right?
Oh man, yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. Do and sips, but not with a petroleum product, but do it with cellulose.
Right.
Heavy as can be, but mm-hmm. why not?
And we talked about doing deep energy retrofit, and I said, well, wouldn't it be great if there was a deep energy retrofit system that included the window
glass. Oh, the windows and the bucks and all.
Because that's the hard part about this. Well, we're working on a deep energy retrofit project.
Is that yes.
Bright built retrofit.
Barn 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Bright Built 2, right?
Bright Built 2, right. So we're working with a couple of folks, and we're kind of doing some brainstorming around those ideas. So stay posted. Next time.
You are nuts.
Next time we talk, we're working on a SIPS panel with Paradigm Triple Glazed windows pre-installed.
Wow.
That are... creative and smart builder Peter Warren Construction.
Oh sure,
yeah. So yeah. Peter's just come on the project.
Yeah,
just doing some great brainstorming.
Oh,
and
Phil.
He said, "I think we can be in and out in 3 days."
No way.
We're on the phone, but I high-fived him mentally.
Wow, yeah. Dude, that's
but
like
we'll see.
That's
we'll
a see. That's like the spinning brass ring. That is the Holy Grail, perhaps.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah,
but in
except
hot
for
pursuit,
the vinyl,
Chris.
Except for the vinyl Paradigm, I love you.
It's affordable though. It's affordable.
I know.
So
it's affordable.
We can't do everything.
But your vinyl Paradigm.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I
you're
am,
good.
But
we'll see. Okay.
Sure. I'll give him
a
cut.
Give me a few minutes here.
All right.
Let me dream, because if we can do this affordably and we can make the numbers work, then we
it's
can change
it.
A lot of houses, and we can get in and out of there in 3 days.
Phil, man, that's
I'm
really
just saying.
Good.
So stay tuned.
I am tuned. You
okay.
You let me know.
All right.
I will. We'll blast the heck out of it. We'll
boom.
Yeah. We'll climb a mountain and shout it from these little microphones.
Shout it from the rooftops. Anything else we need to say about net zero, Chris?
I think we've gone over time. Sheila, again, we've gone over.
Can I talk a little bit about the song coming up?
Please do, because we're done here.
All right. So, I'm gonna switch from Green Architect to Music Snob. So you know
excellent.
I like to do.
I know.
All right.
And we love you for it, Phil.
Thanks. Connor Oberst.
Oh, yeah.
When he was a 19-year-old young buck out of Omaha, Nebraska, I picked up his album Fevers and Mirrors
no
on some
way,
obscure
really?
Website. And I said, this guy's got
you guys
it going
listen.
On.
Oh, you are so cool.
Aren't
well,
I?
What a hipster.
You know, not on much stuff. But
wow. But music, you got it. Okay.
And I said to my friend, and I said, Steve, I remember having a conversation. You got to check this out. This guy's going to be big someday.
Nice.
He hit it big. And not only did he hit it big, but his band Bright Eyes made Omaha.
Omaha,
Nebraska.
Well,
a hot spot for music.
Right. It's good, though. It's very good.
It is good stuff.
And what's new? I mean, that you walked in here the coolest guy in town with a brand new album. So
yeah. Yep. And his new song off his new album is called Shell Games.
Yes.
And before we... There's no lead-in, Chris. So we have to leave it to Connor. Although I have to say that I am going to see him in concert. They're coming to the State Theater in Portland next week.
Wow. Are you inviting me? Is that what that was?
All the time.
Good.
But I'm with you. But I'm actually... I got two tickets. I'm taking my wife this time.
Oh,
so
all right.
Get your own.
All right.
But I hope to see you there. All right. Fun
great.
Episode, Chris.
Fun episode.
Cheers.
Net zero. Very important. We'll save the world.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So there's no lead in. So
Bright Eyes, Shell Games.
Here we go.
Thank you all.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Took the fireworks and the vanity the circuit board and the city streets. Shooting stars, swaying palm tree, laid it at the arbiter's feet. If I could change my mind, change the paradigm, prepare myself for another life, forgive myself for the many times I was cruel to something helpless and weak. But here I come, that heavy love, I'm never gonna move it alone. Here I come, that heavy love, tag it on a tenement wall. Here I come, that heavy love, someone gotta share in the load. Oh, here I come, that heavy love, I'm never gonna move it alone. By something pure, death obsessed like a teenager, sold my tortured youth, piss and vinegar. I'm still angry with no reason to be at the architect who imagines for the every man blessed Sisyphus, slipping steadily into madness. Now that's the only place to be free. But here come that heavy love. Telescopes, distorted facts I could never cope. My private life is an inside joke. No one will explain it to me.